The debate rages on in D.C. as senators grill Keith Ellison on the protests and deaths in the Twin Cities metro surge. The debate rages on at coffee shops and supper tables. How could someone do to a woman what it looks like a Fargo man did? And the debate rages on, should Michelle Turnbull get into the Fargo mayor's race? Or would it ensure that the drunken sailors continue to spend for another 2 years? Good morning, my friend. Great to be with you on a sunny, at least where I'm sitting at right now. Beautiful, sunny Friday morning. It's mild out there. We're going to be in the 40s again today. All is good. And you know, when you get great weather on a Friday, it just feels double good. There is no debate. Steve Hallstrom Show, the only place to spend your mornings. At least that's our story here. And we're glad that you're hanging out with us here today, Addison and myself. Pleased to bring you a sort of a daily digest of everything that's going on here as we get ready for the heart of the business day. And I know a lot of you are just finishing work right now or halfway done with your shift. Whatever your situation is, we appreciate you making the world go around. Well, we're going to make this show go fast today because we've packed it full as we always do. Couple of guests today. Brian Kronk will be here to break down what's happening in the markets. The NASDAQ, the tech-heavy NASDAQ, and the stock market in general have had a tough run, especially, though, this whole technology sector. So we're going to talk to Brian about that, what that means today. Bridget Riedel will be with us, too, before the end of the show. Why are farmers protesting in France? And is there anything that matters to us about that here in North Dakota? I think Bridget would tell us that there is, and so we'll talk about that here today. And then a whole bunch of other very interesting things going on in our world. And before we finish today, we talk a lot about praying for things to happen. At least I do. It's kind of part of my DNA. But it seems to me with Tom Homan saying we're drawing down Operation Metro Surge that we need to thank God for some answered prayers down in Minneapolis. And so we'll do that before we finish up here on the program today. Best thing I heard all day comes from Capitol Hill. Ron Johnson and Keith Ellison got into it, and it got a little personal. This does not usually happen, but it did yesterday. January inflation numbers are out. We're going to talk about that. Michelle Turnbull, Dave Pepcorn, one is in for Fargo mayor. Will the other one go in as well? And would that be a good thing? Maybe not for the reasons that you think. So a lot to unpack there, too. So let's get rocking and rolling here on the Morning Wire here on this Friday, February 13th, 2026. Happy Valentine's Day in advance to all of you. Love all of you. Love you for making us a part of your midday mornings. We sure do. Hope you have a great, I don't know if we call this a holiday so much, but I hope you've got a great day planned with the people that matter the most to you. All right, here, let's go with the almanac for today. We will gain 3 minutes and 6 seconds of daylight today. Isn't that great? 5:48 here in Fargo will be our sunset tonight, and we have that glow in the western sky until almost 7 o'clock now in the evenings, and oh, that feels good. All right, in the markets today, basically unchanged across the board. Very seldom does this happen, but the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 1 point, the S&P 500 is up 9 points, and the NASDAQ is down 14 points. Despite some very good news on inflation, the market just not moving a whole lot. So that's interesting. And I think that's notable because for a while, it took anything that that happened in the market was perceived as a positive and things moved upwards. So I think that's an interesting sign. Maybe tells us that the market's a little tired here. All right, taking a look at WTI crude oil, down a dollar at $62.69. Gold today up $68 an ounce, silver up $1.58, and Bitcoin today up about $3,000, $68,275. AAA says average cost of a regular gallon of unleaded gas, $2.94. North Dakota average price, $2.55. Minnesota, $2.60. And South Dakota, $2.61. All right, in the news today, a number of very interesting stories going on here. Let me put one thing over here. All right. A search is being organized for tomorrow. A group of local residents, reports WDAY Radio, are organizing a search party. Actually, this will be tomorrow. Sunday. In hopes of recovering 25-year-old Isadora Wengel of West Fargo's body. Malia Jimenez says this is her first time organizing anything like this. But she said that we have a responsibility. We have a huge response, and I think it will make it all worthwhile. People will gather Sunday afternoon. They're asking volunteers to show up at the Dyke Sledding Hill parking lot on the Fargo side at 10 a.m. People who attend will get a map, and they'll point you to a place to go search for her. This is a missing West Fargo woman. The man is now in custody. We found out yesterday in the charging documents that came out that this is as gory and horrific as we thought it might be. Prosecutors say they have evidence, including a knife with her blood and bones on it, including some Sawzall blades that were apparently part of this whole thing, too. They're looking for a plastic tote. It's just awful. I don't even want to talk about it. If you want to find that information, you can find it. They're searching dumpsters. They're using the word dismemberment. It's just a horrible thing. And it looks like they think they've got the evidence to put this guy away. And that should happen. He's one of those people. I don't know that you let him out. Again, this just might be his lot in life. As dark as that sounds, you can't even come up with words for this. Speaking of things happening in the metro this weekend, there is going to be a protest that is going to be taking place at Broadway Square tomorrow at 2. And the protest is about the Iranian government's oppression of the people in Iran. And this is related to a global day of action and solidarity for the country of Iran. Scott Hennon had a couple of people on his show yesterday who are behind this. They left the Iran about 5 years ago, came to the U.S., and came here for a graduate school. But they're saying that people in America don't realize how oppressive this regime in Iran is to the people over there, and they want to draw attention to that. National Weather Service has come out with its spring flood outlook. No surprise there. They say the risk for significant spring flooding remains low, running below long-term historical averages. Tom Homan, in his press conference yesterday, and it happened as I was getting set up for Giving Hearts Day, so I didn't really get a chance to listen to it, but one of the announcements that Homan made is that they located, listen to this now, 3,364 unaccompanied alien children in Minnesota so far that Biden administration wasn't even looking for. How about that? Democrats complicit, I would say, in one of the worst child trafficking eras in U.S. history. Good job, Tom Homan. People don't talk about this stuff nearly enough. Congratulations to Pat Trainer, the team at Dakota Medical Foundation, and Lend a Hand Up. Giving Hearts Day 2026. Right now, $30.4 million in. Record was 31 and change last year, so they may not get there. But hey, second straight year, over $30 million, and 325 people volunteered to join forces with a nonprofit. Fantastic there. Great little human spirit story yesterday. Governor Tim Walz in Minnesota says he's proposing a $10 million expense line in the state budget to help businesses impacted by Operation Metro Surge. Great idea, Tim. Create a problem that nobody wanted and then tax the people of Minnesota to pay for the solution. Good work on that. Ford Motor Company reports Yahoo News that it lost nearly $27,000 on each electric vehicle it sold in 2025. Oh, my word, no wonder they're writing off these programs here. Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary, tells CNBC the average tax refund so far among Americans is up 22% year over year. Go, Trump, go. Josh Hawley had a hearing yesterday in the Homeland Security Subcommittee, and he talked to a gentleman named Seamus Bruner, Vice President of the Government Accountability Institute and an expert in dark money networks. And he testified that they have tracked over $60 million in payments to left-wing groups in Minnesota, about 14 of them, that may have very well been part of the effort to disrupt ICE activities in Minnesota. and the Twin Cities. And congratulations to MJ Capelli, the hairstyle chain in the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo area, celebrating 40 years in business here this weekend. Congratulations to them. When we come back on the program, Story of the Day, Dave Pepcorn is in. Will Michelle Turnberg be for mayor? We'll talk about it next. Coming to you live from the Drive with Vision studio, drivewithvision.com. That's the website for Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. They have a great team down there, great job opportunities as well. You want to work with some high-level people, make some high-level money? Well, if you like turning wrenches, man, no weekends, full benefits, and they make more than anywhere in the five-state area. Drivewithvision.com. You can find out how to put in your application by going to the website there. 701-271-1100 is our phone number here on the Steve Ahlstrom Show. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. Now offering counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in soon at valleychristian.co. Here's my question for you. Michelle Turnberg and Dave Pepcorn both get on the city commission ballot. This is an if, okay? If Dave is in, announced it yesterday on this show, Michelle is rumored to be thinking about it. And I hear that from multiple people, so I know it to be true. And I also know it to be true that she's getting people saying, get in, you're the best chance of a conservative being the mayor. She's hearing that from people. So my question to you is, if they are both on the ballot, who do you vote for? Because in City of Fargo now, we're back to approval, or we don't have approval voting. We're back to voting the way like normal, reasonable adults have always voted. And you have to pick one. So you can't do, well, I kind of like both. Can't do that. You have to pick one. So if you are there, what is your choice in that matter? You can email us as well, 701-2 or studio@flagfamily.com. You can text us, 701-237-1590. But if Dave and Michelle are both on the ballot, who are you voting for? I don't have, I'll admit to you, great instincts on politics. I didn't think Trump could win a second term when he got back in, and I was clearly wrong about that. I think I understand people okay, but trying to understand how large groups of people will think about things when I try to apply my sort of logical thinking to decisions that are oftentimes emotional, I just don't have a great sense for that. So I don't know what the right answer is on this one. Dave Pepcorn has got a good track record. When you look at what he has stood up for, in my mind, he's been behind the pilots and the tips and some of the tax incentive things, and I get that. A lot of you don't like that. But if that's the only thing you can pin on him, and he's been a warrior on spending, could have fought a little harder at times, but you know what? I'm going to say that about just about anybody. But he's been big on the homeless situation downtown. Been big on we need better results on crime. Dave's got a really good track record, but you don't hear that because what you hear from the echo chambers and the media and the social channels is that Dave Pepcorn's a racist. He hates the homeless people. He's just a rich white guy that hates everybody. And in this campaign, he will be smeared by the liberals for those things. You know that's coming. Fair to say that Dave runs a little hot sometimes. Not always the greatest filter, probably could use a little more calm from time to time. He's a little like Trump in that way. Doesn't mind pounding the table, doesn't mind getting a little abrasive, a little brash sometime. And he's a guy that says, okay, let me show you the results. And that's kind of the way Trump has done it too. And Michelle Turnberg aligned with Donald Trump in the campaign, so maybe that works. Even in Fargo. The reason this is story of the day today is that this is a really big development in the city of Fargo. And if you live out west, it matters to you because what happens in Fargo has a way of seeping into what happens in Bismarck, Minot, and Grand Forks. My gut is that Fargo is about 60-40 liberal in the voting block. And this is only if conservatives don't vote because all the liberals will show up. But conservatives get outvoted, I believe, 60-40 when voting days come around. People who follow this stuff tell me that Josh Boucher has a slight edge on Denise Kolpak. And if it was just the two of them running for mayor, Boshé probably wins in a close contest. I'm hearing this from people who pay attention to this stuff and who know the game a little bit. And that Dave Pepcorn, if it's a three-horse race, which is what it figures to be right now, I know there's another young conservative in, I love that, but I could be wrong, but I don't think that there's a shot there. I don't think there's any name recognition, but love it that he's doing it, and keep doing it, dude. Coulter is his name. Jake Coulter, I believe. But the Dave Pepcorn in a three-horse race probably falls just short, even if he consolidates all of the vote on the conservative side, because there are enough people kind of like Trump that just don't like, you know, the brash style, that this is enough to keep them home. Will Michelle Turnberg run is the million-dollar question. Word is she's getting a lot of pressure because there are some out there on the conservative side who say Dave Pepcorn can't win. Just too much brand damage over the years. People are just kind of tired of the Dave Pepcorn show. Again, I'll go back to the voting record. I think Dave Pepcorn would make a very good mayor, very good mayor, because he fights for the right things. And sometimes you need somebody to say, I'm tired of this BS. Let's get something done here. My sources tell me that if Dave wouldn't have run and Michelle did get in, that she would win. That's people that I talk to that say that they have an opinion on things. But Dave is in. So what about Michelle? As I said, I don't know this game well enough to say that I would call Michelle and give my advice. So this is just what I'm saying out loud. But I wouldn't want anyone to take this advice and run it. How's that for like not standing up for yourself? I'm just honest about where I don't know that I have a great feel for things. Okay, we all have things that we've got a pretty good feel for. This is not one for me. But my gut is that she should not run this time. She's still new. And I think this could be perceived as young woman in a too much of a hurry. In 4 years from now, she'll have 6 years of experience in city government. I'm assuming that she wins if she runs for re-election. And I think in 4 years, she'd be a very strong mayoral candidate. Maybe that's overthinking it. Maybe you can't wait 4 more years. Maybe you got to go now. But what you can't ignore is that her and Dave would likely split the conservative vote. Remember, we're not in the approval voting world any longer. She has a very bright future. Very bright. Even past Fargo, if she wants to do something on higher levels. Why saddle yourself with a potential loss right now? If the conservatives in town want to win in City Hall, they can do it with the commissioners. Remember, the mayor doesn't outvote a commissioner. It's 1-1. And the mayor can't really do executive orders that have any real weight to them. But it's tricky because if she doesn't run and Dave doesn't win, well, you probably have Boshé winning and according to, again, what I'm hearing there. And then you got three liberals because Denise Kolpak could go back to being on the commission. You still have John Strand there. You have Boshé. And now for the next, you know, 2 years at least until you can redo something on the city commission, you're going to have likely the spending craziness going on there. If Dave or Michelle could somehow win and then Tony Garrig wins, well, now you're cooking with gas. Either way, we are going to pound on spending on this show. I don't want to say that you're going to get sick of me, but you might get sick of me. You need to do the same by what we said. How do we honor Charlie Kirk's memory? Go to the meeting and put pressure on the spenders. I have faith that together that we can change what might happen. There's a lot more talk about spending than there used to be. I'm encouraged by that. When we come back, January inflation numbers are out and they look good. Nice week for the president. What does it mean to you? One of the fun parts about Giving Hearts Day is the day after when you get a little thank you note or a phone call from the charities that you supported. And you can tell that they're just on cloud nine here today and really fun stuff. It's addicting. It is. They make it way too fun to spend your money. I guess that's a good thing. But, oh, you go through the list and you're like, oh, I got to give some to them. I mean, look at what they do. And, oh my gosh, it's easy and it's fun. Then you look at your bill at the end and you're like, oh boy, oh boy. But you're like, okay, but do some good with it and it'll be fun. And so praise God that Tracy and I are in a spot where we can give a little bit because obviously we've been given so much. And one of the big gifts that we have is a chance to hang out with you every weekday morning. So thank you for being here with me, my friend. All right, January inflation numbers are out, and I want to get into that in a minute. First, though, I really am interested. Michelle Turnberg and Dave Pepcorn, if they both end up on the Fargo City Commission ballot, if Michelle decides to run, who are you voting for? I'm curious. 237-1590 is our text line, 701-237-1590. You can call or email as well. A couple of texts have come in on this. Steve, we really only need one to run so we don't split the votes. Also, we need a better way of letting people know when the elections are. I know many people that didn't even know when the last general election was who would have voted. Well, I don't know how you do that. I mean, how are you in Fargo or any city and not know when your elections are? They're not in November when you know, your presidential elections. These, at least in Fargo, are June. I don't know how you can live here and not know that. I imagine the, I guess if you moved here, you might not realize that. That's fair. I'd love to see a billboard campaign, you know, a week out ahead of time saying, hey, but who's going to pay for that? We tell government don't spend our money. So, you know, do we want the government buying billboard campaigns? Well, they do it anyway, I guess, right? I mean, if Fargo far from normal or whatever, the Fargo 100-year city, whatever, I guess we've done some of that from time to time, but I know a lot of that stuff's been cut with some of the budgetary cuts that we've had, and rightfully so. I don't know how we let people know. I think that's just, you should know. You should pay better attention to that, but I'm not really sure how we fix that. Also from the text line, Steve, you're spot on. If Michelle and Dave both run, they will lose with split votes and the Democrats will win. That's the problem. That's the problem. But like I said before, does Michelle get enough that if she gets in there that she can get it done? I don't know. And does she stay out so Dave Pepcorn's the only one in? This is the... well, get on over here then if you come in. Scott Hennen comes in waving his arms at me, and he's trying to adjust the temperature down because it is a little bit like pouring some water over the rocks here.
I already did the sauna. I didn't want to have to do it twice today.
Gotcha.
No, I think Michelle Turnberg wins regardless of whether Dave Pepcorn is in or not. I think she could raise a lot of money because she is well-respected. And let's be honest, she's, I don't know, right out of central casting as someone that would be, you know, sort of let's just end the chaos. Let's just, you know, I would my headline for her campaign would be a fresh start, you know, and just a bit of a reset. Dave Pepcorn can't say that. And I love Dave. He's been a warrior. I think he's a little bit unhinged, and I don't know that that plays real well. If I were him, I would want to be mayor, too, after all the service I've done and all the things I've seen. He told me at one point all he cared about was getting a conservative majority on the Fargo City Commission. I wish he'd pour himself into that and Michelle Turnberg would run. Michelle Turnberg is getting a lot of pressure to run, a lot of pressure.
I'm hearing that same thing, so I'm interested to hear that you are, too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't like this idea of, well, if you run, then you're going to split the vote. You know, run to win and let the chips fall where they may. I think that the split vote for sure is Kolpak and
I agree.
Bosch. That's a slam dunk. You know, Denise Kolpak likes to play this moderate thing. She's a bleeding heart liberal.
Yeah.
And obviously so is he. So they're going to definitely split the vote. I don't think Pepcorn and Turnberg do. I really don't, and I really hope she wins. I mean, again, and she's been a warrior. She's been an absolute warrior, and I think the vast majority of people might be a silent majority. They nod their head every time she says something, you know, like thank you. This needs to be said, and the mayor's not a fan. I mean, I've heard stories that, well, I think even I forget where they were at together, but a friend of mine was in the room, and Denise Kolpak in and couldn't even, like, look at Michelle. Like, the body language was, you're dead to me, and I'm not even going to pretend you're there. I mean, not even dispensing with niceties.
Well, Michelle has called out the establishment many times.
Exactly.
And the reckless spending and these weird social causes that we seem to want to latch onto. Fargo City Commission. Michelle Turnberg has got a very, very bright future ahead of her. So there's a part of me is I love your spirit, Scotty. And I admitted when I did my sort of diatribe on this, I said, look, my instincts on politics are not great. They just aren't. I didn't think Trump could win when he got back in the second time. So I'm honest about that. But Michelle has a very, very bright future, probably even more above or further than Fargo politics if she wants to do that at some point. Does she want to saddle herself with a loss this early?
She's not going to lose. She'd win. She'd be the favorite right away. And by the way, Michelle Turnberg reminded me last night, she was actually at an event at the Newman Center. And just my wife and I were on our way out, and her husband were on the way in. And where was I going to go with that? She reminded me, she said that she decided to run for commission in Arizona for work and had to, like, literally, you know, go to a hotel business thing and send in her thing and have somebody deliver it for her and drop off a check.
Thank the Lord she did.
Right? Mm-hmm. But my point is, she doesn't need this. I mean, she's got a very successful career. She obviously did well in media. I think that helps as well.
Yeah.
She's got, she's beautiful. You know, she just is, like I say, right out of central casting that I think isn't your kind of typical candidate for anything. And so does that make me sexist to say that, by the way?
I don't know. I typically don't say those things, but I don't know that most would disagree with you.
You didn't wince, but you had that look like.
Oh, I didn't mean anything by that.
Okay. Anyway, she is. She's, you know, again, Donald Trump always says that, right? I think he picked Doug Burgum because he likes his hair. You know, I mean, and he uses the term
central casting.
I'd like
to think that Doug had a little more to him than that.
Well,
but I get
what
you're saying.
But yeah, it's, you know, he's like.
Well, we need three, like, sane people on this commission.
Right.
I don't care how we get there.
Right.
Honestly, if you take Tony Gehrig, Michelle, Dave, if we can just find a way to get. What now?
Brian Lee.
Who? Brian, the hockey player.
Correct.
I've heard rumors about this. You think he's going to get in?
I have very little doubt.
Oh.
And I understand there's a couple of conservative candidates. I think Dave Pepcorn and Tony Gehrig come with baggage. Doesn't mean that it's deserved, right? I mean.
Dave, yes. Tony, I don't think so.
Oof.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
what's Tony's baggage? That he says no to spending?
Yeah, he's good at that. He's got a little bit
that
too...
That ain't baggage to me, bro.
Little too high of opinion of himself. You kind of have to be a little careful there.
Well, I think you got to have a little bit of that to do that, right?
Right, it's true. But what is that line? Never in doubt? I can't remember, but always right and never in doubt. That's the term. I mean, he's got a little bit of that about
him. Yeah, there,
and politicians do. But, you know, I don't know. He's been gone long enough, and people might be fed up long enough that he'd be there. Tony Gehrig would be a great addition to the city commission. When he got elected the first time, I'm like, you know, that's who you want on the city commission, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you need somebody like that on the wall.
Well, we need another one of those people in there.
So if Michelle Turnberg would lose the mayor's race, she still stays on, okay? And then
same with Denise, right?
No, I think she's done. I think she would be off. Pretty sure.
She's terming out this. Okay.
But she's only been there two
so
years,
Pepcorn
right?
So Pepcorn and her. But no, Mahoney is out too.
Yeah.
So I don't think there could be three new. I want to say Denise still has time. Anyway.
I think you're right because I don't think she's been there more than 2 years.
Don't think so.
Yeah, you might be right. I thought she came off, but Michelle would not. I know that for sure. So, you know, there's one. Pepcorn's termed out, I think, in the commission, so he'd have to go over there. But say, you know, Michelle's there, Tony Gehrig's there, new face Brian Lee is there. There's at least one other conservative.
Yeah. It looks, Scotty, the bottom line here, everything else in Fargo you can sort of put up with. I can put up with them being a little squishy when Code Pink comes into the building. I can put up with, you know, do we have wards or do we have, you know, at large, whatever. But whoever gets in, it's going to have to be a Doge-like effort on the spending. And it's going to hurt. And the establishment is not going to like it. Anybody that's affiliated with the city who is underwritten by city funding is not going to like it. You're going to see any semblance of any, like, nonprofits or, you know, committees and social work, whatever. That's going to have to go. But in order to get this thing squared away, it's going to take courageous people. And I think with Michelle, Dave, Tony, I don't know Brian. I don't know this young Coulter guy who's running. But you better have a stomach because it's kind of like the ice stuff in the cities. We all said during the campaign, I talked about it a lot, like all these voters are saying we want people deported that are not here legally. And then you see what happens in the Twin Cities and people are like, oh, my gosh, it's so messy and it's so ugly. This is going to be messy and ugly.
I get it. But who is it messy and ugly for? The crowd that is, you know, thinking it's messy. I saw a poll. I forget who did it. Was it Fox or somebody? And said, what was the line? Do you like ICE's aggressive tactics? Mm. That's what it was, right? and like,
what a poll question.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
And then people are saying, oh, yeah, see, they're aggressive. Like,
what do you approve of the brutality from ICE? Oh, my.
I'm not kidding.
No, I know you're not.
It's just unbelievable. So my point is, I think the vast majority of the silent folks, okay, there is a silent majority in Minnesota going, thank you.
No question.
I don't want these people in my neighborhood.
No.
They need to go to jail. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing is here. You know, you got the pearl clutchers and the you know, Indivisible and the red hat ladies and all the people that make the most noise. Normal people don't go to a city commission meeting. They don't have time.
Yeah.
You know.
They better start.
I get it.
They better start.
And they should do it for school board, too.
Correct.
And did you know that Sirko Sirleaf, is that how you say his name?
Sirko Sirleaf, something like that.
He is announcing tomorrow he's running.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
For mayor.
So, all right.
Another one.
Very good. Scott, thanks for stopping in. A little impromptu chat with the Godfather. That's what I call Scott here. On the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right. When we come back, our good buddy Brian Cronk, it's been a tough week, a tough couple weeks in the stock market. Tech stocks hit hard. Is this a long-term problem or a short-term trip to the doctor? We'll talk about it next. All right, early market activity is as quiet as I think I have ever seen it. The Dow is up 1 point, S&P 500 down 4, the NASDAQ is down 92. You got to have one character in the bunch. And but generally a very quiet day. It has not been that way over the last couple of weeks. Brian Cronk is here, managing partner at Collins and Cronk here in Fargo. Great financial advisors, and they're people that I trust my personal money to. And they are great advisors to us, but also great on the radio, too. And Brian's been good enough to take a few minutes here. In between meetings, I said, Brian, I need you, buddy. And he said, Steve, I got like 14 seconds at 9:50. So, Brian, thanks for the time. What's going on in the market right now? Why have we seen the sell-off in some parts of the market? What's behind that, do you think?
Yeah, it's really interesting. As portfolio managers, we actually follow the flows of the money. So we can see, you know, exactly what's coming out of what and where it's going. And so for the past, you know, 6 months, you've seen this sort of market rotation as money came out of the Mag 7, if you will, and it went into other sectors of the market. Some of the, you know, especially in the fall here, some of the things that were sort of left behind. Now you're seeing some wholesale distribution. Institutions are taking profits. You're starting to see all the makings of a potential correction on the horizon, as it's not just the Magnificent Seven. It's not just, you know, one sector here or there. You're seeing money come out of a whole lot of things that have had profits. And if you don't take those profits, the market will. And so that's exactly what's going on.
I've heard some people say lately, Brian, that artificial intelligence is going to reduce the need for software companies, because an AI program can basically take whatever problem you're trying to solve at your business or your personal life and can write you a script to help figure it out. And you don't need your Intuits and your Oracles and your Microsofts anymore. Do you think there's any truth to that?
Absolutely. Isn't it exciting? You know, you think about the way technology changes our society and the opportunities it creates. You know, everybody, you don't hear anybody lamenting that the demise of the typing pools from the 70s, you know, but at the time it was tragic. What are we going to do with all these people who type, and what are we going to do with all these typewriters? And the same thing is going on now. We're going to change the way the landscape is, but that doesn't mean jobs are going away. On the one hand, where AI is taking over certain tasks within software or certain software companies' jobs altogether, you're seeing companies like IBM is tripling its entry-level workforce right now. So you've got hiring based on AI, and you've got some, you know, changes that are going to, you know, cause some changes in jobs because of AI. But I think in the long run, if we can look beyond the initial pain, it's going to be a net positive for all of us.
So you are thinking that the AI side of things actually gives job opportunities to young people and maybe even old people, do you think that will offset some of the job losses where AI replaces that productivity?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a direct one-for-one, but if you look at historically, every single time that we've had huge shifts in our society and in our capital markets because of technology, it's actually always created more jobs. Now, if you think about email, what does that stand for? Electronic mail. You know, there was a time when you heard a lot of offices and businesses talking about going paperless, right? And so we were not going to have any more paper and there would be no archives and whatever. And you look at society today, we've got more paper than ever. So I don't think jobs are going away. For those of us who are adaptable and have a good work ethic and can be creative, there's going to always be opportunities for us to have jobs or to start businesses and make money. And you can just see that in the market. Just as AI is hurting the stocks of some companies, it's enthusiastically driving, you know, new stocks higher and creating brand new companies. And so, yeah, this is just the next evolution within our economy.
Are we going to see, or are we starting to see, a boom in Caterpillar, John Deere, Alcoa, if they're still even doing their thing, U.S. Steel? Are we starting to see, like, the tech stocks were sexy in 2024 and 2025? Are the tractors going to be sexy? She thinks my tractor's sexy, Brian, but does it work that way in investments here in 2026? Is that where the money's going to go?
So that kind of remains to be seen because, you know, we've had a very commodities-driven last half of the year with this weaker dollar, anything commodity-oriented. So you mentioned aluminum with Alcoa, or you look at the steel companies and how they've been doing. And then you look at what President Trump is doing, trying to bring a lot of that industrial manufacturing, those supply parts of our economy back to the U.S. so that we're not, you know, dependent upon, you know, other countries that may not be so friendly to us. So I think all of that potentially drives some of those machinery stocks and industrial stocks. Industrials have already been strong because of AI and the build-out. But as you mentioned, people moving away from software companies from an investment standpoint, guess what? AI can't replace an industrial company. It can't replace manufacturing. You can't have AI do your welding and electrical for you. So I think those are some potential pockets of strength in this market.
Just about 20 seconds left, but a fairly tame inflation number came in today on a consumer price index. Do you think this gives enough leeway for the Fed to cut interest rates going forward?
I don't think we're going to see a cut. We've already got pretty low interest rates when you look at it in the historical context. I think they'd like to have a little bit more data after the shutdown we had.
Okay, good stuff. Brian, I could talk all day, but thanks for giving us a few minutes you had. We appreciate you, brother.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Brian Cronk, Collins & Cronk, Raymond James, they are fantastic. Doesn't cost a thing to ask a few questions. Get a hold of those guys. They'll give you some great advice. Hour two coming up next, the key three, Doritos are getting less expensive. Why is this? I've got an interesting theory for you. Hour number two of the program brought to you in part by Dakota Dental Implant. Getting a full new smile in one day takes more than skill. It takes passion, training, and the right technology. Dr. Matt Eaton at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center has extensive advanced training in implant dentistry. He uses advanced 3D imaging, digital planning, and in-house technology. Each smile is carefully planned before treatment even begins. Many patients are able to walk out the same day with a strong, natural-looking, full smile. Compassionate team, comfortable experience, and financing options available. If you've been told implants take months, it might be time for a second opinion. Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo, DakotaImplant.com, DakotaImplant.com. Smile like you mean it. Question I'm asking you today, I know if you don't live in Fargo, this probably isn't something that really floats your boat, but I just got to know, since it's the city that we emanate from here, it's kind of the nerve center for what we do here at our company. If Dave Pepcorn and Michelle Turnberg are both on the ballot for mayor in Fargo, Pepcorn has announced that he's in. Michelle Turnberg is rumored to be considering it. Who are you voting for? You can only vote for one. Who are you voting for? Curious what you think about that. 701-271-1100. If you want to call in, you can email us, studio@flagfamily.com, or text 701-237-1590. From the text line, Steve, the goal is three conservatives, end of story, 100%. Yeah, it doesn't matter. There's not a lot of prestige. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. There's not a lot of functional advantage to being the mayor in Fargo versus the city commissioner. There really isn't. The mayor does not have the ability, like President Trump does to do executive orders that, you know, could make stock markets fall and rural rise and, you know, spend millions of dollars. They can't do that. Mayors, that's just not how it works. So you want one of the five voices. And if you are a liberal, you want three of the five. If you are a conservative, you want three of the five. And I know it's dangerous to put all conservatives together because a conservative is not a conservative. But in this case, the people we're talking about, Dave, Michelle, Tony, all these people fit the bill. I mean, you'd take them in a second to be leaders. So I'm with you. We got to get three. And whatever lets you get three is what hopefully will happen. Pepcorn can't stay on the commission. He's got to run for mayor if he wants to stay in. Michelle is a commissioner. She doesn't have to run for anything else. Tony isn't on there, so anything that he runs for would be fine. And I'm glad he's running for city commission and not for mayor, because then you'd have more choices there that kind of are cut from the same cloth. Also from the text line, Steve, Mahoney and Pepcorn are termed out. Yes. Yep. Denise, Colpack, we were trying to remember this whole thing about where she was elected. I want to say that she can return to her commission seat, but I've got somebody who says that's not true. So I'll have to dig that up. Addison, would you look that up for us, please? Denise Colpack, if she does not, so she's running for mayor. If she doesn't run for mayor or if she doesn't win, does she get to go back? I think she still can. I think she still has time left, but we'll double check on that. And one more off the text line. Let's hit while we are here. Steve, the best way to govern is identify the basic functions of government, things that are nice to spend on but not necessary, and things that are none of government's business. Yeah, well said. I kind of butchered that. Let me say it again. Best way to govern, identify the basic functions of government, things that are nice to spend on but not necessary, and things that are none of government's business. That's right. Yeah, I've said it this way. Government needs to do for the people what they cannot do for themselves and nothing more, which is a very, very small list of things. But we've tricked ourselves into thinking that a society that is advanced and sophisticated,
a progressive society, will attempt to improve the quality of life for the people that the government will serve. And you hear things like this, and I say, okay, well, then where do you stop? And I say this all the time. At one point, there was no government. And a bunch of the settlers got together and said, well, let's all throw one chicken in the middle. And Jedediah, you have to make sure that there's a road that we can get from Jethro's house to William's house. And we'll give you a little something for that. Well, that's turned into $36 trillion in debt. And if we only spent money on things that people could not do for themselves, yeah, you get your roads, bridges, I mean, you know, there's not that much law enforcement, national security, but there's a lot of stuff in there that we really don't need to spend money on. I'm with you. Identify the basic functions of government and stop trying to pick the winners and losers in life. All right. Also, one text just came in here. Steve, my vote would be Michelle Turnberg would be my vote. Okay. Interesting. All right, you can keep those votes coming in there, but it's time for us to get to the key three here as we get into the second hour of the program. Key three is my attempt to try to whittle down all the stories going on into what I think are the three most consequential stories, the ones that have the most real impact. And today it was hard because I've got five stories. I wish this was the old days when I was doing the show at 5 o'clock and I could say the top five at five. But we're going to try to stick to the plan here. I will tell you, my honorable mentions are Ford Motor Company reports it lost nearly $27,000 on each electric vehicle it sold in 2025. And then Scott Bessent said, so far, what the IRS is saying is that the average tax refund is up 22% from last year. Wow. And they didn't even pass like new tax legislation. They just kept the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act going. Man, oh man. Okay, so story number one. I am reading from a website called shiftsovereign.com. Now, I had never heard of it, but I understand that it's got a pretty good reputation in conservative circles, and I'm told that their articles are well-researched. So I'm reading an article, and it says Pepsi spent $2.8 million last year lobbying to keep junk food eligible for food stamps. But last week, after RFK Jr. got 18 states to ban snap purchases of things like soda, candy, and processed snacks, PepsiCo announced price cuts of up to 15% on Doritos, Lay's, Tostitos, and other Frito-Lay products. The company's official explanation was affordability. And the CEO said low-income customers are switching to store brands. But timing tells the real story. The SNAP program is a $100 billion a year program that serves about 42 million Americans. And according to the USDA's own data, about 20 cents of every SNAP dollar goes to sweetened beverages, candy, salty snacks, and sugar. How about that? Until last week, products from Pepsi's Frito-Lay division were in 7.2% of all shopping trips paid for with SNAP benefits. Isn't that interesting? So that's story number one. Story number two, every time I find a story or a statistic like this, I bring it to you. Because this is what I believe the liberal media doesn't want you to hear. And this is what I believe most Americans don't hear. And you should. The numbers of children that have been found with these ice sweeps. Holman yesterday brought another number out. And I heard it later in the day. Yesterday, even though his press conference was before our show, and I was listening to it, and Holman said that ICE has located 3,364 unaccompanied alien children in Minnesota so far that the Biden era, the Biden administration wasn't even looking for. 3,364. That is a, if that number is one, it should make us break out in tears and put our palms in the sky and say, thank you, Jesus. 3,364 kids that were, what's your guess? Mine? Trafficked? How do you not? Maybe not all of them, but certainly some of them. And we are rightfully infuriated about the Epstein files. I am too. I want all those names. I don't care. I can sort through and figure out what I think is right, what I think is wrong, but I want to know. All that stuff on Epstein files. But nobody's talking about this. 3,364 kids. And finally, Josh Hawley questioning the VP of the Government Accountability Institute yesterday on Capitol Hill. Seamus Bruner is his name. Josh Hawley said, all right, your organization tries to figure out where money is coming into Minnesota from for these operations on the ground protesting ICE. What have you found? Bruner says, we've tracked over $60 million in payments to 14 different groups, some of them national, others on the ground. We built a database that contains hundreds of thousands of rows from grants of networks of the Soros Network, the Arabella Funding Network, as mentioned, the Neville Roy Singham Funding Network, and many others, these massive non-governmental organizations that have billions of dollars to spend on all kinds of coordinated protests, or in this case, riot activity. And Paul Allen thought he had to apologize 65 times for saying, I wonder how much the paid protesters are getting on for hazard pay. Here's something else that nobody's talking about. Everybody needs to know about it. Steve Alster Show back after this. DriveWithVision.com, that's the website for Vision Ford Lincoln and Wahpeton. Bought a Lincoln down there from those guys not too long ago. I'm not the only one. I see them all over town. They're all coming from Wahpeton, and I know why after being down there. Prices, great. But more than that, you're going to spend X amount of money for whatever vehicle you're looking for, whatever price range you're in. You're going to be able to find vehicles anywhere. It's the selection and how many different kinds they have of the stuff you like, and then how they treat you when you're doing it. And Vision Ford Lincoln, great selection. Tons of inventory down there. They take really good care of you. DriveWithVision.com, DriveWithVision.com. All right, from the text line, Steve, they say that poor people in our country cannot figure out how to get an ID, but smart, capable people aren't able to figure out the bureaucracy and the paperwork to get the benefit they have coming. The U.S. Constitution defines what we are supposed to have our tax money paying for. We've just let it lapse. When we had to, we took care of each other and ourselves. Yeah, 100% right on that. The problem is now politicians are getting wealthy off of being in office, so they want to keep getting reelected. And how do you do that? You keep promising things to people. And I'm not going to say it's only a Democrat thing. Trump has done some of that, too, more than I would like, to be quite honest with you. But like I always say with Trump, there's 95% of things that I love and make him the greatest president of my lifetime twice. And then there's 5% I don't like, but I can live with it. I can, because I know what the 95 looks like. And I know what it would have looked like if that woman would have got. Nah, that sounds bad. It's not a woman thing. If that particular woman would have got elected. Holy, can you believe, or can you imagine what the world would be like? Grant Hedinger has hopped on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hey, Grant, what's going on?
Morning. You know, just playing off that comment there and Pam Bondi's yesterday with trying to explain to the people, you know, going over more Epstein files, and then stumbles through how high the stock market is. This is the problem with the base, the working class poor, I'll call it. They just are sick of not being heard. It's like they hear you, but look at this. Look at stock. It's doing good. Look at this over here. When 10% of top earners, the top 10%, are supporting 50% of the economy right now.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like still like, well, let's just keep massaging the Dow. Let's keep doing this. And then we're like, well, we're better off with Trump like this rather than the other way. And I don't disagree with you. But at the same time, we've got some major problems we want solved now. You can go take a Venezuelan dictator, pull him out in 3 minutes of boots on the ground. You can surely get other things done. And then you pitter-patter around with Tim Walz. You try to get this great homily together. And we all know that those snakes over there in Minnesota are going to do the same thing they've always done. They just lie their way all the way to the next ballots. So this real ID thing, too, it is a tough thing. I mean, if you really wanted to make voting true and honest, make everyone get a real ID. Everyone that's honest is having a hard time get it. I got it a long time ago. Yet we just want a simple ID. Even if you don't have the real ID, I think you should need that to vote. And not vouch for other people to get 8 to 10 ballots at a time,
yep.
Which compounds the situation in the cities, which then nobody in the rural Minnesota setting gets a say. So you gotta, I mean, somebody's gotta face some justice, and it's gotta be elected officials, judges, lawyers, DAs, politicians in handcuffs. And is it the blackmail that bad where they don't want to rock the boat there, Pam Bondi? I mean, this is the job. Because the American people, I think, the more you do this and the more you erode the trust and confidence, the more that they're just going to get their way, and that's the only way they want to do is maintain power, no matter what side of the pendulum you swing.
So, Grant, I love where you're at, and I think, you know, no better minute has happened on this show today than what you just gave us there. But you've covered a number of bases. Tell me one thing you want to have happen right now, specifically.
Well, Steve, I think if we don't start getting, like I said, politicians, judges, elected servants in handcuffs for what they have done and what they have uncovered, the elite rich that have also participated with them to create the system they have is always power and money. We the people will just be continually run over, and that top 10% earners supporting 50% of the economy it's going to blow up even worse.
Give me a name. Who needs to be in handcuffs today?
Why wouldn't you just start with Tim Walz and his DA? All the economic terrorism fraud that they created, and it goes to other states too. People that turned a blind eye, start there.
Yep, agree. It's kind of like
you can also in tandem get these Epstein people taken care of too.
Yeah.
Arrest them.
Yeah, fair.
Why is this so hard?
Fair.
Tell me why is this hard?
No, it's not hard. It's just not convenient. Now, because this is what I've said for how long now about Joe Biden and all this money that came in from overseas. The Republicans told him, we got all these bank records. And what has happened? Nothing. And we'll never see Joe Biden in handcuffs. We'll never see Barack Obama in handcuffs. We'll never see Kamala Harris in handcuffs. And I hate to say this, but I don't believe we'll ever see Tim Walz in handcuffs either. Now, if anyone's ever going to do it, it's Trump, because they put him in handcuffs, basically. And he knows what that's like to have that done to him. And I don't think he gives a bleep if it is convenient for Tim Walz to have handcuffs or not. I think he's willing to do it. And look, he's only a year in, so I'll give him credit for it. Looks like he's looking. I mean, who else would have gone into Minneapolis the way he did to try to root out the corruption? So I give him credit for that. But you're 100% right, Grant. We need to take more steps. And until we see somebody who matters being led away in handcuffs, this will continue. Grant, I love it. Got to move along. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Good stuff as always here. All right. I've got best thing I heard all day, but got the phone lines heating up. So let's roll with this for a little bit here. Ryan in Aberdeen, politics is a pendulum. Tell us what you mean.
Well, I kind of wanted to follow on from what Grant was saying. I'm glad to be able to follow him.
Yeah, just get to it quick if you would, Ryan.
He was talking about what he felt should happen. I'm talking about what does happen. People get upset with the Republicans when they're in office, and then they vote for Democrats. Then they get upset with the Democrats, and they vote for Republicans. And the pendulum hasn't stopped swinging in the last 32 years since Republicans took over from the Democrats for the first time.
Yeah,
in
the problem is when the Democrats are in, the pendulum swings way to the left. And when the Republicans are in, we can't even get it back to the middle again because we're scared that we might step on somebody's toes.
I just want to see the pendulum stop swinging because federal government is so weak that it no longer matters who we put in office because they can't screw things up.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff, Ryan. Thanks for giving a call today. I appreciate it. Yep, I'm with you. Sorry, Ryan. A little too quick on the trigger. I thought you were done, brother. Yeah, look, this is the same. This is why I was disappointed. And I don't mean to beat on Julie because I think she's done a good job. I do. But when I hear her say, well, you know, I don't want to say that I would shut the federal government down about voter ID because I don't know what I would be saying no to there. If I said yes to shutting the government down on voter ID. But best thing I heard all day is Ron Johnson. I'll try to play that for you before the show finishes up. And it's not enough anymore to just be aligned with the right things. You need to fight for them, and you need to be willing to die on some hills because we have a $36 trillion debt, and I get it. You can't turn that around on a dime. But I want to see and hear our elected officials on the Republican side act like this really matters and that they see the problem that it is because these things are massive problems. Thank you, Ryan, for your call. 1028 Steve Alstrom Show. Bridget Riedel, our weekly Check on the Farm, next. Every Friday, we get a chance to visit with our good friend Bridget Riedel, Ag Director here at Fieldstone Group, Flag Family Media. Bridget makes us a little smarter once a week. We're thankful for that because the host of the program can use a little bit of that once in a while. Bridget, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. So let's start with Steve, what questions do you have before I launch into anything?
Yes, I know, right? Poor Bridget, she has this list of great topics, and then I say, Bridget, I'm just curious about this and that.
I love that.
I want to know for our farmers out there who've got corn and soybeans in the bin, has anything happened in the last week or two that makes us feel like they might actually get something when they send that out to market?
Well, we're going to recap the WASDE report later today when we get into our show, Weather and Ag in Focus. Now, I think that there's a lot of farmers that have been hauling grain the last couple of weeks, probably not just because there was a little bit of a change in the market, but the weather got nice. Mm-hmm. And they've been able to get some of that done. We want it taken care of before load restrictions come on. With the temperatures we had yesterday, today, ground is softening up quite a bit. That makes it a little less exciting to drag a truck and an auger through your yard, et cetera. But I just had a message from a farmer in South Dakota telling me, I think I got like 500 bushels left out there. I'm going to run the combine out and get it.
Oh, okay.
Around some wet spots. Mm-hmm. So people are still trying to finish up what they had. I saw on my way out west earlier this week, I saw a field at Carrington that was still being combined as well. So
okay.
Interesting that there's still a little crop in the ground as well.
All right, second question for you. Inflation numbers came out today from the Bureau of Labor Statistics saying that things cost 2.4% more on average than they did a year ago. I want to know about inputs. My fertilizer, my herbicide, my pesticides, all of that, the urea, all those things that have to go on my crop if I'm farming. Are those things going up at a reasonable amount as well, or are we seeing much more exaggerated levels of increase on those things?
So, not everybody's going to love my description of this, but here we go. When you see farms that are getting things like Trump payments at the end of February, farmers real are going to have a little bit of cash, and so you're not going to see a decrease from those input suppliers. They may have been like, well, we should probably lower something, but hold on,
Bridget.
the market can bear it, so we're going to hold firm. Now, one other thing that's going to impact us that probably isn't being thought of, and this is looking ahead to the 2026 season, China is removing a tariff rebate that they have had on a number of active ingredients for pesticides that we use here in the U.S. So if they remove that 9% tariff rebate, now you may have seen things change because of tariffs anyway. I'm going to use the example of glufosinate, which trade name is Liberty. That's the brand name that we use out in the marketplace. It's been relatively flat for about a year. But with the removal of that tariff rebate, we now see that for 2027, there'll likely be an increase of that in price of that product. The product we needed for 26 is likely already on the shores here in the U.S., so this will impact 2027.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, isn't it something you think, okay, good, a little money coming our way because Trump used soybeans as a chess piece, right?
Yep.
And so here comes some money, but the people who run the fertilizer market say, oh, here comes some money, and so maybe we'll leave our prices up. You'd like to think these things don't happen, but I guess it's human nature and capitalism to see some of that happen.
It's capitalism, and let's remember one thing. These are publicly traded companies, and therefore shareholders like you, me, and many people listening want to see dividends. One way to see dividends is to continually realize profits.
Okay, so, Bridget. Sorry, sister. I thought you were done.
Nope, that's good.
Okay, so we're going to import 800 million metric tons of beef from Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
The president is trying to make it cheaper for you and me to go to the store and get a little hamburger when we need it. But this does not make our ranching friends very happy. I understand both sides of it.
Sure.
Trump is trying to make grocery prices a little bit less, and it looks like he's doing a pretty good job of that from what we see today. But if you're growing cattle, you're like, come on now. Now, it doesn't look like this is going to be necessarily the high-end steaks and things. It looks like trimmings and whatever else. So if we didn't do this, or maybe a better way to do it is, if a pound of hamburger is $5 or whatever it is now, when this happens and all these beef trimmings come in to the country, what does a pound of hamburger look like in the store? How much does that go down?
I'm actually going to say hardly anything at all. And the reason I would say that is when you look at the bringing this beef in, as you mentioned, trimmings, a lot of that's going to go into schools, restaurant service, et cetera. So it likely won't be anything that we even impact at the grocery store. That would probably be very little. Overall, these 800 metric tons that Trump is talking about is roughly 3% of our total need. So it's pretty small. If you only were bringing 3% in, how much could that offset in a grocery store price? Well, I'd use 3%. I'm certainly not going to say 10 or 15. I don't see it coming down tremendously. Yes, is it from a beef producer point of view, I think it's a precedent that we don't always want to set that we're going to go outside the country to bring in that product in order to help our own markets, because past history tells us every time we do that, we make ourselves vulnerable to everybody else's market swings. But in fact, we don't have enough cows yet in the U.S. who are producing calves that are producing beef.
Bridget, I heard a story not long ago, and I forget where I was, but I heard this story that there may be more incentive to plant soybeans this year because of something that's happening or some demand item that we're going to have that we didn't, or maybe an export market that was being opened up. Do you know what that might be, or am I just hearing things?
I think there's a couple of things going on there. One, there's some incentive. If you talk to your crop insurance agent and those sign-up dates are mid-March, like about March 16th, there may be some incentive there that you want to explore. I think that when we look at the continuous trade discussions that are going on, there are some Middle Eastern countries that have more of an interest in soybeans than maybe what they have before, and even some oil. So we're going to see where that leads. I don't think I have enough information, but like you, I've heard some of that as well. What I watch in seed buying, though, in that particular, their behavior, what they're doing right now, are a lot of corn seed that got sold.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Now, can you return your corn seed and swap for soybeans? You can, as long as there's enough seed available, because it's not like kitty litter and you can just turn on a spout and make more.
Yeah.
So could some of those acreages switch There's great potential for that. Also, it will depend on what areas of the country are dry versus have good moisture and how early planting season begins for them.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. There are a number of crop farmers, who are either going to the bank right now or just kind of getting the bank's response to their financial picture and telling them what I'll lend you for 2026. And I'm sure that there are a lot of guys who are getting news that they don't like from their banks. Mm-hmm. Is there another way that farmers are starting to try to skin that cat to get your crop loan without having to go to the bank? Like, I don't know what this could be, but is there like some Bitcoin derivative sabotage sort of arbitrage thing that could be done? Like, how can a farmer make it if your bank says, sorry, dude, it's been a tough couple of years? You're like, well, I know, but I've got to find a way to keep something going. Mm-hmm. Is there another way to handle this besides going back to the banker and groveling every year?
I tell you what, it is getting fairly creative out there versus traditional lending. And I think one of the areas that that's happening is some of the input suppliers also are offering financing. So you could finance through your seed company, mm-hmm. all your seed inputs, without having to go to your bank and put that on your operating loan or line of credit. You're seeing more places like John Deere Credit, right? Some of the larger equipment manufacturers are able to do that. So there have become some very creative places that people can do more of that financing than maybe what they did before.
Oh, okay.
We're seeing that bankruptcies are up, but the biggest thing I see is we've got those that are, they're really, really struggling. How am I going to put a crop in the ground this year? I have had calls from folks who especially are diversified with livestock and said, I made money for 2025. That middle ground where we're sort of a mid-size operation, we've been able to make a little money off and on, that group is shrinking. And it's truly becoming that divide of I'm absolutely on the brink of destruction to I did okay and I'm going to survive. There's not much middle ground left.
Yikes. Not a great place to be.
It's going to see some changes.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a dry winter here in town. I don't know what it's been like everywhere. Mm-hmm. But my ranching friends out in Watford City, they need moisture so that they've got grazing land that's worth a darn when the cattle mm-hmm. hit the pasture. What's it been like, kind of like, what's the regional picture? Have we been dry everywhere, and are we starting to see ranchers in particular, and maybe farmers too, that just need moisture in the ground for crops? Are people starting to get worried yet?
We're one of those states that doesn't have a big presence on the drought monitor yet, and I think that's in our favor. Snow, it's almost too late in the season to say, great, we need a bunch of snow, because especially the eastern half of North Dakota, we're froze. That liquid's not going to get absorbed into our soil profile. Better chance of it to the west. What would really be wonderful is if we could get that crop in the ground. Let's say we're planted majority of it by towards the end of May, and let her rain. Refresh those pastures, recharge that soil moisture profile, and let that crop that's in the ground drink it all in and make some progress. So if I get to order it up the way I want it, and I'm certainly going to side on the cropping systems, that's what I would want.
Okay. One other question, then I'm done with all my questions, but the USDA, I read some places, cutting an insurance option that North Dakota farmers use more than people in just about any state. There, it's like a safety net of some kind. Do you know what that is about?
Would it have to do with our specialty crops, like our sugar beets and so forth?
That I don't know. It was I heard that we had a safety net that was in danger.
Let me do a little more work on that for you so I can report back to you, Steve.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. All right, you had a couple things you wanted to talk about today.
Well, one that's really kind of cute. We all use WD-40 like crazy on the farm.
Indeed.
If you do a soil sampling, you use it as a lubricant on the soil probes, etc. What you might not know is that handwritten formula is kept in a lockbox at an undisclosed bank location in San Diego. It has only ever left the vault 3 times in the last 30 years. That notebook is the only version that has the full makeup of the original formula, and it accounts for nearly 80% of WD-40's revenue as of August 2025.
No kidding. Wow.
Cute little story to add to the day.
A little WD-40 trivia.
Very good. It's always fun.
You can't get that kind of content just anywhere on the radio, friends. You need Bridget Riedel, our wonderful ag director. Thank you, my friend. You have a great weekend. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your husband, and you guys have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Bridget. Bridget Riedel, the one and only. Nobody better. All right, when we come back, I'm going to give you best thing I heard all day. Ron Johnson got a little ticked off yesterday, and I kind of liked it. We're going to talk about that as we come back on the Steve Alstrom Show. Still time for a quick question. Phone call as well, 701-271-1100. Be right back. I opened up my faith side a little bit this week in my column I wrote for Flag Plus. I titled the Statistics of Fraud and the Mandate of Grace, talking about the Somali population in Minnesota, and it's easy to vilify an entire group of people because of what some have done. Certainly, statistically, there are major concerns with the Somali population, and these are government stats that I'm referring to. At the same time, we have to be careful that we're not lumping everybody together, and one of the lines I use in this was that we can hold two thoughts in our heads at once, right? Two things to be true at the same time. We can demand that the government stop this industrial-level fraud that we have. And the lopsided welfare statistics that the congressman from Texas exposed yesterday, and lobby for common-sense immigration policy. You don't take people from, Islamic hotbeds by the millions to bring into your country. But at the same time, you can walk across the street and shake the hand of your Somali neighbor because he's not a statistic, he's an individual. So I kind of dived into that. If you're interested in Flag Plus, it's $10 a month, $100 for the year. Just go to am1100theflag.com, click on Flag Plus. I do a commentary about once a week in addition to some other audio clips that Jay Thomas and Scott Hannon put in there. I think it's good stuff if you're getting together with people, you want to kind of have some ideas of, well, what could I say if this comes up in conversation? And I try hard to kind of figure out, okay, what's the right way to say it to make it simple on these complex issues. So hopefully that can be a good resource to you. If you are a subscriber to Flag Plus, thank you for doing that. All right, I got to get best thing I heard all day, and then hang on, Dana and Jim, try to get to calls as quick as we can. Look, you don't have to be an angry person in politics. Nobody likes a get off my lawn guy or gal, but once in a while, I want to see things that make me angry also make my elected officials angry. It can't all just be statistics on a piece of paper to you. It's not enough when things are this bad to just have the right positions. I want to know that my elected officials are going to fight hard for those positions and maybe fight and die on a few hills. I won't say fight to the death for them. That's a little extreme, but you get what I mean. When it comes to voter ID and fair elections, I want to know that that's so important that there's nothing that will stop you from making sure that that happens or doing everything you can to make it happen. Government spending. Our government is not broke or worse than broke. I want to know that you're going to do everything you can to make sure that we take a chunk out of government spending. The trans issues. I mean, it goes on and on. These things are so important for us. These are existential issues is a little too strong of a word. Nobody's going to die. But our democracy certainly could. It's not wrong to get a little ticked off because of the damaging things we're talking about. Don't get your blood boiling a bit. Maybe you've lost your motivation. Ron Johnson's been a U.S. senator for 15 years, and he got into it with Keith Ellison yesterday with the Senate committee on the fraud and the protests in Minnesota. It's the best thing I heard all day. Listen to the end because the audio kind of mutes a little bit, but the exchange at the end is very important.
I, as a government official, would have said, back off. Let us work with ICE. Let's cooperate with him. Let's see if we can't de-escalate this. But Attorney General, you did the exact opposite. And two people are dead because you encouraged them to put themselves into harm's way. And now you're exploiting those two martyrs. That was a tragedy. It never should have happened.
Amen.
Now, we can investigate, but I can't imagine being a law enforcement official where I know my colleagues have been shot at, their vehicles rammed, that they're trained activists deployed. And by the way, we know at least one of those activists had a semi-automatic pistol with extra clips.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're an ICE officer. You're doing enforcement action. You've got a team behind you trying to protect you. You've got all these trained activists behind you. Is it any wonder they're at hair trigger alert? A tragedy was going to happen, and you encouraged it. And you ought to feel damn guilty about it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Hang on.
Now, sit there and smirk. Smirk. It's sick. It is despicable.
Are you asking me for comment, Senator? Because everything you said was untrue. It was a nice theatrical performance, but it was all lies.
Senator Hassan.
You disgust me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, that's to Ron Johnson at the end saying, you disgust me. Keith Ellison is rolling his eyes, smiling, and sitting there like, you can't touch me. And Josh Hawley, in some questioning also yesterday, he said to Hawley, bring it. Like, if you think you got charges, just try it. He is so smug and arrogant. He feels like he's untouchable. And you could tell that sitting in there. Thank you, Ron Johnson. Thank you for being mad about the things that make us mad and for understanding what that situation had to have been like for ICE to be in there with all those protesters out there. And they're egging these people on, and all of their party, their cronies talking about, we got to fight back, we got to resist, we got to make things happen. Exactly right. They encouraged it. Two people are dead because people like that said, oh, get in there, we got to fight, we got to, you know, resist. And then they sit there yesterday and say, oh, we showed Trump, didn't we? Look, Trump stayed there as long as he wanted to. And when he thought the job was done, he's pulling people out. And you just had to sit there and take it until Trump said that he was done. All right, Dana, Jim, sorry about that, you guys. Sorry about that. We're just not going to be able to get you guys in here the show today. I appreciate you calling, but I had to get that in because it was just so darn good. All right, stay tuned. Scott Annan, the What's On Your Mind show, coming up next. Have a great weekend. Happy Valentine's Day. Appreciate you being with me. Keep on flying that flag.